would be for 1 hour. I think that works out really well. Like, we all just saw how it works. Yeah. I think that's all he said.
Representative Bloom.
I'm obviously sponsoring this resolution, but okay, so here's the thing. I was against this idea at first, but when I was talking it out, it makes sense to me because I don't think it's stifling free speech or anything like that or someone's opinions, because I think it promotes collaboration amongst people, and encourages a healthy time limit in a span that we can all pay attention and we're not all texting on our computers and not listening to what people are saying because it's redundant. I do think this is a good idea after I was against it, but I'm for it now.
I'm actually gonna cede the chair because I would like to talk about the flow of meetings.
Oh, yeah. And also, just to be clear, like, just I guess the way things work, I just want to reiterate that in theory, there would be up to 2 hours that people could talk about a resolution because of the way that we have second and third reading calendar. So, yeah, there's just like plenty of time for all sorts of people to speak.
Representative Ehrlich.
Oh, also, I don't know if anyone does this, but people can also submit written public comment. That always will still be the case. So if they have more things to say, that can also happen.
I will say the written public comment thing, I don't think that's a particularly good point, because honestly, like, let's be honest, almost no one here is going to actually read them. But I will say I was once strongly opposed to this. But I think if we do kind of what we did today, where we make sure every side has some chance to speak, it'll work. And I must say that I will now say that this is another certifiable Christian Torala W. So that's my last point on the.
Thanks, Bax.
Response?
My response is thank you.
Vice President Adequa.
I just don't see how it could work, frankly. I think, and no, I literally, like, today was public comment limited to 1 hour, or was it just
Yes, it
like,
was.
but
We could
we.
have extended. Like, yeah, so the whole point of this is that, like, we're extending the default duration
Where
currently. Oh, sorry.
are you done with your question? Okay, sorry.
Yeah, so we're just extending, or we're setting the default duration, right? Like, we can currently it's unlimited, right? And if we ever have to be like, oh, like, let's thankfully it didn't happen today, but if we say like, oh, okay, we're only gonna do it for 1 hour this week, people are gonna be like, wait, like, that's stifling free speech and whatever. But like, we can always extend or shorten that duration, but it's just the default that we're setting, like, just going into every meeting is 1 hour maximum, and then at that point we can always decide whether we want to change that. That's all.
It's again, like, just the basic, like, idea that, like, we have people who come to these meetings for a singular resolution, and sometimes they literally have to wait hours upon hours to not even get the chance to speak, like, time and time again.
Back up
So,
from the mic.
oh, sorry, too bad. But yeah, like, it's pretty simple. So,
President Durham.
Okay, a couple notes. One, you have the wrong appendix. This is like your I don't know, it's a bylaws for something. This should go in the standing rules. And for everyone to be aware, in order to extend public comment, say there's like a ton of controversial resolutions, and so you want to allocate like t 20, like, say there's four of them, you want 20 minutes each, and you then go over 60 minutes. You can motion to suspend the rules, which just suspends our standing rules, which would then suspend the hour to extend, which is effectively the same as what happens right now when I do limit public comment, when that can be motioned to be extended. So just, it's not like the hour is guaranteed one way or another. Like, it can be overturned democratically. It just gives structure. And I think that that does enable the chair to do things like what I did today with which was modeled after what something Patrick did for controversial resolution my freshman year, of just making sure there's balance, because I could say there is an end to this public comment, and so there must be a structure to it so that everything is adequately, like, represented. I am definitely in favor of this for those reasons. I also think an hour is a healthy amount of time. I really like public comment personally, and I think that anything less than an hour as a starting point. Like, I'm a little like 45 minute to an hour type of person, because I was talking to a professor this morning actually about paper exams in a 50 minute period versus a lecture in a 50 minute period, and he does a lot of extension work, so he's always talking to people, all that. And what he said is that in his experience, when people, no matter how much they care, 45 minutes is when people stop paying attention. So if they are forced to be there, 45 minutes is pretty much the cap that you can get them to pay attention. And then they'll start, going on their phones, going on their computers. And then even for people who care, when you get past 45 minutes, for every minute they're listening to, they are forgetting the first minute, 2 minutes, whatever. So I do think that a limit to public comment is healthy for all of us and future representatives to be inspired by our standing goals.
Clarify. Just to clarify, is there an amendment that needs to be made to make this better?
Standing rule, Hume standing rule, appendix, but I can like make an amendment for the language of the resolution.
Okay. Should we wait, or can I just talk on the next one?
You can motion to close debate if you would like, and that just make sure to submit the amendment.
Oh, can we submit the amendment afterward?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I motion to close
Okay,
debate.
wait.
Oh, never mind.
Yep, that's the
Oh, it's wrong. Oh,
who's next?
okay. Amendment to
Motion to approve the amendment. What she said.
we need to see the amendment, especially considering it would be a red line.
So while we wait, do you want to start talking about the next resolution in terms of this one?
Yeah. Wait, I can't hear you.
Oh. Okay.
Okay.
Recognize.
Oh.
President Durham.
Performative placard raise. I think. All right, an appropriate amendment would probably be it therefore resolved at, so at adding between 27 and 28, a be it therefore resolved that subsection 103 of the subsection 103A 10 of the bylaws be amended to reflect the following language: 10 public comment in parentheses, 1 hour maximum.
It's there further resolved. But yes.
Is there any dissent?
Motion to approve the amendment.
Okay, is there a
Go ahead.
second? Is there any dissent? Seeing none, that amendment has been made.
Motion to end debate.
Is there a second? Is there dissent? Seeing none, we'll vote on the resolution. All those in favor, please raise your placards and keep them up. All those opposed? Abstentions? That passes 19-2-1. I see chair back.
Can I ask? I don't know if this is a point of order or parliamentary inquiry, but whichever one, can I be recognized for it? I have a point of. I don't know if what I'm asking is a
Yo,
parliamentary
just ask the
inquiry or a
question,
point of
bro.
order. Okay. Well, I'm sorry. I'm trying to do this properly. But no, all I'm saying. I just we said earlier that the SAF was tabled, but it's Resolution 66. It's on third reading calendar here, and I don't remember a motion being made. So I just want to clarify that.
Well, Hayden did say to table three resolutions, and one of them just literally was not unwritten from so the sponsor has asked for it to be put yesterday texted. Also, we don't have enough votes for the SAF vote here because we don't have two-thirds. So either way, we would have to bypass it. Okay, moving to Resolution 49, attendance callouts. I believe this is the one with the appendix that's labeled as 48, I think. I don't
I don't really know. Okay, yes. This resolution, I think, is also pretty straightforward. However, I do want to make some amendments. I had a conversation with the Office of the Assemblies. They had some suggestions about, procedurally how this might be done. Gosh, what's the line now? Give me a moment. So I would like to amend line 28 to say that before 15 minutes preceding scheduled adjournment, the chief of staff, as opposed to the presiding officer or scribe, that's also the wrong word anyway. So just the chief of staff, without interrupting, will state for the record all that stuff. So it is now your job. Yeah, anyone want to second that? Okay.
Wait, yeah, sorry, I've been like f trying to find the page. This is my bad.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of pages.
But I like physically writing out the amendments. Okay, just email me the amendment language. There was a second. Is there dissent?
Yeah, I'm just presiding officer and scribe shall is now just the chief of staff shall.
Is there any dissent? Because there was a second. Okay, seeing none, amendment is made. Continuing.
Motion to end debate.
Well, okay, is there dissent? Seeing none, debate is now ended. We're in a period of voting. All those in favor of this resolution, please raise your placards. Like 23. All those opposed. Okay, seeing none, all those abstaining, seeing none, in a vote 23-0-0, this resolution passes.
Yeah, what happened to clapping after a resolution chat? Yo, this took like 5 weeks to go through. Let's go.
Wait, that should be put in the standing rules. We
Yeah,
should just
guys.
suspend the rules and not clap for something.
All right. Next one. It's also me.
Resolution 50, Trimesterly Committee Chair and Liaison Reports. This is the one that is labeled as Resolution 48, Appendix A, updated bylaws.
Wait, for clarity, like, is there any change that I need to make here?
Not really. The language is appropriate.
Perhaps. All right. Does anyone have anything to say before I end debate? Okay. All right. So
Executive Vice President Flannoy.
my only question is like, hopefully, like, this is passed, this gets conveyed and everything like that. So, like, would it take action like immediately once it gets like approved? Just because, like, I don't know when that's going to happen, but like, it's probably going to happen in like April and we'll have like 3 weeks left.
I believe I specifically wrote that it would be at like the first meeting of the semester that we would designate these three dates. And given that we don't have one of those till the first meeting of next semester, I think it's probably fine. Yeah.
All right, Representative Walters. Okay. Representative Bloom.
I motion to end debate.
Their second. Is there dissent? Seeing none, debate is closed. We're now in a period of voting. All those in favor of this resolution, please raise your placards. Okay, 22, all those opposed, all those abstaining. Okay, in a vote of 22-0-0, this resolution passes.
Yay! I feel like
Are
a superstar, guys.
those three certifiable Christian Trollotuppies in a row? I think Lex
I
is
know that I'm like out of order really
leaving the
quick,
chair.
but for amendments that people are making, can you like email or text them to me just so I can put them in the finalized doc? Yeah, like RQ, like RN.
You.
TY.
You're just gonna speak in abbreviations now.
Yeah.
You guys have heard me talk about Resolution 51, about the contingency plan before.
Okay, let's.
It was so powerful.
Get out.
Continue.
So, like, I think you've heard me.
Decorum, please. Come on, y'all. Let's get this. We're doing so well. We're doing so good.
You've all heard me like talk about this before. Actually, both of the say object lessons that inspired this resolution were in the crowd earlier today.
For
I don't have anything else to say other than like please pass this because I did email people for no. I have an email drafted for the people with ethics for like right after this meeting so that they can come next week, ideally. That's my statement. If you have questions, like feel free to ask.
Representative Early.
I moved to close debate.
Is there a second? Any dissent? Okay, seeing none, we will now vote on the resolution. All those in favor, please raise your placards.
Why is Christian Trawl on the phone?
Certifiable Christian Trawl.
All those opposed? All those opposed? Any abstentions? This resolution is passed.
We also shout out for my partifuls. Amir and I would really love to have you guys for dinner.
Seat my chair to the chair.
Yeah, and
seating. You're not in a chair.
That was my chair.
Is it like biased to like ask people to fill out the partiful while I'm at
Sora, I'm not in the group chat.
I'm not chair.
Wait,
I seated chair.
I think next is
all right, while we're waiting for the chair to announce my resolution.
You don't have to announce, you just go.
Oh, wait, normally no, she says what's next. I don't know. I thought that's how that worked. Like, we move into
resolution 52. It's so great. Expanding college credit limits. Thank you for doing that before seating.
All right. So this is almost the same as it was on the second reading calendar, except I added some edits that were suggested by Sonia and Christian about their colleges. I wasn't able to find their credit limits, but they do have them, and they helped me add them. So those were certifiable W's from Sonia and Christian Terrell. But that one more time. All right. Okay, yeah, go. Sorry, I don't call on people, but yeah, I thought maybe I'd move to close debate, but someone wants to say something.
There a second for closing debate?
No, I said I might, but someone wants to say something.
Representative Chittery.
I'm not going to lie, I'm actually not the biggest fan of this overall. Like, for instance, like, also, like, sorry, I should have reached out earlier, but the Brooke School doesn't limit, like, 18 credits per semester like that. It only limits 18 credits for first years, and then after that, you can go, like, I'm in 22 credits a semester. Like, no, you can go above it. Like, you don't have to do anything. But, like, the reason why they do that is because I do think that there's specific colleges that, like, have this policy so that, like, for instance, first years can adjust to Cornell without accidentally, like, overloading on academic credits altogether. And then after they've, like, proven that, like, hey, like, I can handle it with, like, a certain GPA requirement or something like that, then they can go and petition. So I do think there's some nuance here that isn't just, like, oh, we should let all students take 22 credits from semester one. Like, I have friends who have graduated from Brooks in 2.5 and have still been able to do that and have transfer credits in. I don't really think there's, like, that big of a difference. But, like, even beyond that, like, I think there's reasons for, like, why – colleges limit credits as well to like limit students from graduating like too early or something like that. I just don't think like having a broad policy to like, oh, there should be like no credit cap like whatsoever like for like 22 credits isn't really like nuanced, nor does it like really take students' mental health into consideration. Okay. And I think there's reasons for like why certain colleges do these things. Yeah.
Okay, well, if you'd read the resolution, you'd see that it says that it accepts first year students, so that would have been good to notice. I think students should be allowed to take a few extra credits above 18 because, yeah, students will graduate early. And that's something that if students want to take that on, that's their choice. This has been a huge issue, I can say, in ILR, where students have an 18 credit limit. And, like, listen, like, people do have sometimes in their first year have trouble knowing what their limits are. But beyond that, like, especially speaking as an ILR-y, like, Our classes are not like engineering classes, right? Like I can handle 21 credits, whereas certain students in other schools, depending on what classes they're taking, might not be able to, right? Yes, I called my major easy, but like my point is, like we should, sorry, Admir, but yeah, we shouldn't have these limits beyond your first year. But if you're, so you're saying that the public policy one is only a first year requirement? Because that's not what I thought I saw online, but okay, then fair enough. I moved to amend the resolution by removing line 12. Nope. Okay, never mind. I withdraw that.
Ayo, I think so. Representative Orward, like before anybody. Oh, okay. Then, okay, Vice President Adekwai.
I'm very passionate about this, not only as a first student, but as someone who had to transfer to CAS double major. It's not true. I had to go to another college in order to take another major because Brooks doesn't. I love Brooks, but it didn't allow space for another major unrelated to public policy for those who want to intersect, in addition to multiple requests being denied for credit extensions.
I'm not clear on whether he's saying that's because of a credit limit or
Just
because.
because of a credit limit.
Okay. That's only for the chair, is my understanding.
He was looking at me, to be fair. Yeah, in university policy, you can't double major across colleges.
Brooks isn't, there's a BA. You can. It's a new thing.
No, but the BA is in arts and sciences. So Brooks, if you're a student in the Brooks School, you cannot major in anything other than public policy because of
I'm
the Brooks
saying
School of
I'm
Public
saying because
Policy.
of the credit limit, I had to transfer to CAS because the credit limit was too strict that it didn't allow for any other courses to be taken.
So and so instead, so you couldn't take a minor.
Yes.
Okay. Vice President Young.
Can I actually say a response?
Yeah.
Because I'm still confused. Were you or were you? I guess you can't respond unless you're called on. I would smile favorably on people not raising their placards after I say this so that he can
You
respond.
can yield the rest of your time.
I'm pretty sure you're not supposed to be able to do that under Robert's rules. I looked that up the other day.
There's two people in the audience.
I get to do a point of
Okay. Well, what? So, was there not an 18 credit limit? I yield my time to Daniel, which I guess I'm allowed to do.
There was an 18 credit limit, and there's an 18 credit limit for all years. Multiple of my friends have been denied multiple years. Kennedy has been denied multiple times. Like, there's a credit limit, and it's stringent for multiple years.
Okay, Representative Ward.
So I'm on the Brooks website, and it says that the maximum number of credits you can take as a Brooks School undergraduate student is 18 credits, and that you can petition to go above that. But no. But that doesn't mean that you can automatically take up to 22. And so I don't think we should require people to petition to get to that level, because also I'm a double major also, and it would have really impeded my ability to be a double major had I been forced to petition for every single class I wanted to take above 18 credits, which I've done every single semester. So I wouldn't want to do that during the already busy time. So
And I want to add that petitioning systems are very not transparent. And like, I can't speak on how easy it is in Brooks, but in ILR, technically, I think you can petition, but it's like literally impossible. Like I am more likely to be struck by lightning than to be granted a petition to do more credits by ILR. So, yeah, like it's a bad system.
What is the quorum count right now?
20, I just counted. Vice President Young, I already called her. I'm about to not. What?
Yeah, I just
was directing traffic.
I wanted to speak a little bit to the Brooks requirements as well. Not only have I had problem exceeding credit limits within the semester, like within the normal fall and like spring semester, also within the summer as well. So I think it might be good to amend the resolution, which I will like propose an amendment as well. But also, like, okay, so for Brooks, in order to exceed credit, you have to meet a certain GPA requirement. Okay, understood. So even for the summer, while trying to get, summer courses that exceed, while trying to get summer courses so that way I can boost my GPA, I still was not allowed to go above 4 credits per Brooks because I did not meet the GPA requirement. And it's also problematic because in order to even receive like financial aid for the summer, you have to have at least 6 credits. So I wasn't even allowed to qualify for financial aid for the summer because of Brooke's credit requirement as well. And so I would also like, I would motion to amend this resolution to also include that no school should go below 6 credits for summer courses. I mean, for like the summer session as well, because a student has to have at least 6 credits to even be considered for financial aid anyway. So Brooke's requirements, it didn't allow me to even get financial aid for the summer, which I needed anyway. So, which.
I'll second that.
There was a second, there was dissent. We're going to debate on this amendment.
I completely agree. Wait,
With
that is.
Kennedy having right of response.
Yeah. Wait, I completely. Kennedy, that was a fantastic point. I think that's so much more of a better. Because, like, again, like, my problem with this isn't, like, the idea that, like, oh, students should be allowed to take, like, more credits. Like, again, like, I'm petitioning above, like, the thing. To, like, clarify the point earlier, like, why, like, wanted to clarify that? Because the way ILR works right now is that there's a hard limit of, like, 18 credits. Brooks does not have, like, a hard limit like that. Like, the large majority of Brooks School students, like, as long as they, like, are meeting, like, the GPA requirement, are able to petition over, like, their credits, like, large majority. So it doesn't work the same way. And the language reads, like, how it, like, there are hard limits, which isn't the same differentiation. What I do think here, like, should be, like, really highlighted is that, like, there are all these, like, different, like, subcases of, like, ways the policy, like, doesn't work super duper well. And I think, like, what would make this resolution so much better is if, like, you talk to the faculty senate, or, like, there was, like, some communication done between, like, you and, like, the chair that, like, Professor DeRosa, I think, is, like, the chair of the faculty senate, like, something like that. But, like, right now, as it reads, like, it's just sounding like, oh, like, we just want, like, an uncapped 22 limit, like, for, like, everybody, like, no holds barred, like, without understanding the nuance of, like, what admin put into the policy. If you're able to go in there and, like, talk to them and say, like, hey, we've taught up, we've talked about this, but we have cases like Kennedy where, like, your student who's trying to raise your GPA and, like, isn't able to get financial aid for the course they're taking, it's ridiculous. So there's clearly problems in the system, but as of right now, I don't think it reads that way, which is why I would be in favor of this amendment, but not in favor of, like, the way this resolution reads right now.
And I have right to response, right? Just to respond to Representative Charter's point, I would say that I think that we should sway away from using the Brooks School as an example, because right now I feel like that there seems to be a large point of contention between members of the assembly that are also a part of the Brooks School here, because Ishan states that there's not a hard, 18 credit limit, but I know people who meet the GPA requirement and still have been met by, no, you cannot, because I feel like the Brooks advisors, or at least me and those I've spoke to, the Brooks advisors have an idea in their head about how they wish our curriculum would go. And if you try to veer from that curriculum, they will try to stop you, even if it is within your per your even if it's within your ability to do so. So maybe we should veer away from the conversation of using the Brooks School only because there seems to be contention in the individual experiences that we have. But I don't think it's a, I wouldn't say I would view it as a hard, I mean, as like a, like you can go over 18 even if you do meet the GPA requirements.
Representative Ehrlich.
I agree with Kennedy. I think the point of this is that so we could add some stuff that highlights issues in the system. I think that's fair. I agree with Kennedy's amendment also. But, like, you shouldn't have to petition to take 22 credits or 20 credits. You shouldn't have to petition for it. I get the first year thing. That's why it's already in the resolution. But you just shouldn't have to petition for it.
I would even like to add to that, you shouldn't have to petition for 6 credits, which is what I had to do. So, doesn't make any sense.
EVP for noise.
I fully agree with, like, the original resolution. Like, I think that there shouldn't be the limit. The only issue that I have about the summer course is that if you make it to where it's required, like, essentially to, like, have at least six, and I completely understand financial aid, but then it's not possible for someone to take, like, a 3 or 4 credit class, like just one class in a summer session. Because, like, I know like, I've taken classes over the summer, and I've just taken, like, one class, and it's just 3 credits. Yeah, I think they're involving, like, 3 credits. And so if that was the case, like, you wouldn't be able to just take one class. I completely get the point about financial aid, but then you're kind of just reducing access for anyone that would want to take just one class, because the summer session classes are already, we all know, they're more expensive, because you have to pay for them per credit. And so you're essentially saying anyone that wants to do a summer class has to pay whatever 1850 times six is, I think is like the cost per credit. So that's the only reason why I don't think we should pass that amendment.
I think that my point has been misconstrued. In my case, like 6 credits is what you need in order to get financial aid. Per Brooks, I could not go past 4 credits. So I needed to take 2 courses, and I couldn't even get to the financial aid minimum because of Brooks' limitations. So it's not that everybody would have to take at least 6 credits, is that schools should not be able to limit you to anything that is below what is needed for financial aid. Like that's the same for like, you know, in the regular semester, how there's like 12 semester requ there's a 12-hour requirement for like financial aid. That's like Brooks telling me, oh, well, you can only take 10. How am I supposed to get financial aid?
Representative Dorward.
Also, yeah, I agree with what you're saying, like raising the like cap of what you can take, isn't it's up to you. And that's how I feel about the entire resolution in general, is that it should be up to the student. I don't really want to look into what administration's thoughts behind this are, because it's something I experienced as a student and many of my friends have. You can judge what you're able to do in a semester, and we have a really late drop period just to give you that grace to make sure that your schedule is something you can handle. I think at the end of the day, you should allow students to take on what they want to take on. And for like an example, you could take like 4 credits of research, but you may not be able to do that if you have a max cap of 18. You know what I mean? So it's like other opportunities that would be available to you, you may not be able to get because you have to do your required classes for your major. So that's like why another scenario of why like the max cap makes things really challenging for students. Like I've always used research credit. I've always done that. So it's like that's a really essential thing I'd be losing in my education if I was capped at max like 18. And I understand there's a petition, but those aren't always approved. I petitioned for classes before, and a lot of times they're not approved, or there's a lot of questions about it, and it's a really, really long process. So I just think there's like it should be something that's allowed all the time.
Point of information.
Recognized.
Have we been, do we have the exact language of this amendment? Because I think it would actually be useful to see.
I can type it up and send it to the group chat.
Yeah, send it to the listserv, please, so it's on the record.
I can't lie. I've been left out the list. Yeah, I'm continuously left out the listserv. Like I don't have access to it.
I emailed the OA about that, like, later. But anyway, then send it. Have it sent to me, and then I'll forward it to everybody, or send it to me and Alex and Christian. One of us will do.
Can you please clarify in like two sentences what the amendment is?
The amendment is just to add an additional line that states that schools should not limit anything less than 6 credit hours during the summer session.
Could you just change it to say that they can't be below like the financial aid requirement? I think that, I mean, why is it specifically the summer? Like, I don't care what term it is. It,
Well,
what if they change it? You know? I don't know.
oh,
Fine.
okay.
No, it's fine. Wait. Let's just move on.
I mean, well, actually, I think Christian Torala does have a good point because I
Oh, darn it.
Well, it's that there's 2 Christians. No, okay, wait, Christian Torala does have a good point because I know that even the Trump administration is trying to make it to where federally, like the requirement for like federal aid is 14 credits instead of 12 credits. So I think that like saying like the requirement for financial aid as the minimum is a good language to have. That's a good idea.
Is that another
Is that an amendment to the amendment?
Max, do you have something to say? I yield like a quick second.
Something.
It's
Just
another.
a vote.
What did I miss? Sorry,
I know this is out of order, but it's
I second the
another.
amendment or whatever. You know,
It's another certifiable Christian Torala W.
Oh. But you seeded it to me to say that again? I already made that joke 2 seconds ago. No one heard it.
I motion to approve the amendment.
Second.
Wait, wasn't there an ask to have it sent out?
Yeah, I want to see it.
Please don't
Like,
respond.
wait.
We've already heard it.
Second.
Well, we can get that after. Like, let's
If
approve it
y'all
first.
trust it,
We got like
I
a
believe
bunch
it.
more resolutions, guys. Let's just like, this is not one that we need to be quibbling over.
Are we even gonna have time?
He's
Like,
green.
are we?
Let's keep going,
I
gang.
mean, we're definitely not getting like second.
Well, we need
No,
to
but I
figure out
mean, like,
their.
where are we at with quorum now?
I
If we lose,
think
wait.
I think we are
One,
at
two,
four.
three, four, seven.
Wait, I don't count as four. Wait, so we're gonna tease.
18 without Ishan, you're just sitting with people, so I pointed in your direction. First couple times I was counting you in that, but not now. We're 18.
Give me props.
So people do not leave.
Yeah, that's
So we.
I don't.
What? There was one. There was one. Oh, did she count my?
Right. I just sent it over.
Can
Sent? Sent?
Yeah, because like I'm a separate like, individual.
No, I get it.
Motion to vote on the amendment.
Okay.
We don't have the amendments.
She sent it.
Got it. And forwarding to listserv. Okay. Sent to listserv. Usually like a quick delay.
Can we vote now?
I'm so proud of you guys. Yeah, I did. It's forwarded to listserv. It does have like lag. Yep. Kennedy, Representative, Vice President Young, do you have a location in the resolution where this line should go?
Oh, my bad. Oh, let me look.
That's fine. You can just say it.
Shouldn't it be a therefore resolved clause? So after 28.
After line 28.
Yep.
Perfect. Thank you. Now, is there a motion?
Okay.
Recognize.
I just shouldn't this say for undergraduate students or undergraduates? Like this sentence doesn't. I'm sorry to be like that guy, but I need it to like.
Clerical errors don't need to be amendments, I believe.
I don't even know if that's a well.
Yeah, I think it's worth having said out loud.
The spirit of the amendment.
I support the spirit of the amendment.
Second, whatever it's the
I moved to vote in favor of the spirit of the amendment, bro. I don't know.
Is that what I did? Wait, did I do it back?
What? Smile favorably upon the spirit of the.
Wait, bro. Wait, yeah, but no one saw it. Okay. Wait, don't slight me now.
No one's not here.
Did you make your amendment?
Didn't like amendment.
No, I meant thinking more than like.
I don't even know if I'm clear yet on whether
Okay,
we
so.
decided it's okay to leave it like this or fix.
Okay, I think.
There's a new one that was sent.
Motion to approve the new amendment.
Wait, hold on. I just got the new amendment, so I'll read it out loud to go on line 28. Yeah. Oh, okay. Kennedy sent it in the listserv. Perfect.
Motion to approve it by unanimous consent.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there a dissent? Seeing none, approved by unanimous consent. Yay. We're back in debate on the resolution as a whole. Executive Vice President Fonoy.
Motion and debate.
Is there a second? Is there dissent? Seeing none, debate is now ended. We are in a period of voting. All those in favor of this resolution, please raise your placards. Keep them raised. Twenty-three, all those opposed, all those abstaining. In a vote of 23-0-0, this resolution has passed. Now, Resolution 56, improving accessibility information and support for disabled students in residential housing.
For the record, I love Brooks. Just wanna have that
That's so funny. She did me for
A kid named Brooks. I kid you not. First name Brooks. Beat me for class president when I was a senior in high school and by 3 votes.
Last night, but I was
No, we have a
No.
like.
All right, let's listen to the presentation, please.
Representative Swabi.
I didn't change anything since the last time. Still the same, like just to update the Housing and Residential Life website so that we can have it, so that we could see the accessibility features of each door. Yeah.
Okay. Representative Masood.
Yeah, I think this is a really great resolution. I feel like none of us are going to argue against this. It'd be kind of crazy if anyone does. So I want to move to close debate.
Second.
Is there dissent? Seeing none, debate is now closed. We're now in a period of voting. All those in favor of this resolution, please raise your placards. Aye. Okay, all those opposed? All is abstaining. In another 23-0-0 vote, this resolution has passed. Now, resolution 57, ensuring equitable evaluation of special project funding requests. We are at 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Can we just move an abstention? Like unanimous abstention. Unanimous abstention. Also,
I don't know. I actually have been asked that. So, literally in the language of the.
I don't know my last page. Nice.
Here's
the
about it. So this is resolution 57, ensuring equitable evaluation of special project funding requests. I know it's been a minute, but just kind of like a reminder, just essentially we're wanting to make sure that like minority marginalized organizations on campus are still kind of able to receive special projects funding, and that kind of like equitableness is also kind of applied to all organizations on campus, just because of like the specific way that these organizations have historically represented these groups and how they should continue to do so. So any questions?
Representative Walters.
Considering we rescinded resolution 43 last week, is this one super like relevant still?
It is still relevant because it's still talking about like what we still want to be able to do as an assembly and like how we should be voting in the future. So it is still relevant for like what we plan on doing and how we should be acting as an assembly.
Okay.
Representative Tarala.
I have a couple things to say. You know, last meeting when we rescinded that resolution, sure, I guess at the end of the day, people might have voted whatever they voted, and that's cool and all. But I am going to call I think Vice President Flournoy out on this. It's a little bit coincidental, perhaps, that last time when we weren't following all the rules and we voted like three separate times on something because it didn't work in your favor, like. I'm so sorry. Like, I don't really care, but like, dude, you know, Admir was absolutely 100% right. I looked up Robert's rules and whatever. He can point of order. He's supposed to point of order before or during the vote to let you know that it's out of order.
This is irrelevant to the resolution. So
okay, I think it's like kind of relevant. It's about the same content. So like, I have no problem.
Question on that one.
All right, like I have no problems with. The spirit of the resolution and all that. I just think that like the method we got here was a little bit suspect. I think we all like want what's good for the assembly. Like we all want to do the right thing. And I have no problems passing this one, but like, you know, next time I just really feel like there could have been a better way of achieving this result. So
well, I will say this resolution was on the agenda, no matter if that recension was actually made or if it wasn't. So just kind of that point. And also in terms of the procedure in which was held last time, Everything was followed correctly as it was in Robert's Rule of Order, except for the way in which we voted. It is correct that we should not have done a roll call vote. It should have been a vote of rise. And if you would like, I can go into it and explain like what that actually is. But it was not
I know
familiar.
what it
It
is.
was not familiar to me or anyone else on the assembly at that time. So
Everyone
yes,
around you was telling
there.
you this
So
was.
yes, there was like an issue with how that was. But I'm going to keep this about this resolution. The desire for this resolution still remains the same. Like I said, it remained on the calendar and would have been there whether this recension did or did not happen. So, I mean, I guess I'd ask that you separate actions as chair versus something that was already on the agenda simply because it has those two different effects. And I don't know if anyone else has anything to say.
So, first of all, the division was proper, and the vote, having a vote was proper. So, like the only thing that was improper, like Christian said about the actual procedure, was the roll call vote. I will say, Christian probably should have ceded the chairship at that point, in my opinion, which I think was the point that Admir was actually trying to make when he when we kind of well when he was bulldozed, regardless of that. And also, I think that's the thing that so one of the things Sophia Arnold was mad about when she was going all crazy. And she was right about that, even though she was being really annoying about a lot of stuff, in my opinion. But regardless, like, I don't think the outcome would have been different, because clearly our first vote actually had been wrong. We had like five more people vote suddenly. So clearly something was off where people weren't able to vote. Whether it was they weren't in the room or whatever. Here, Daniel.
I just want to add that a gun wasn't held to anyone's head. Like, they didn't have to vote in any way. So I think that the change in vote or the rescission, like, is what democracy is about. As for Christian's, like, practice, I think that the fact that there's a book over there, the fact you have to Google it, just shows that being chair isn't as easy as anyone would like to admit. I've been chair, I've been confused. And yeah, sometimes people, like, it's sometimes it's up to the discretion of the chair. And if Admir was here, he'd probably agree with me, but he's not. So that's what I have to say about that.
I would also like to add on, even if I were to sit here today and say and concede that the method in which was wrong, one thing that everybody here can all objectively agree to is that the roll call vote is the most accurate vote. When we were just raising our placards, I've watched countlessly as people don't raise their hands for not none of them. So roll call votes is the most accurate way to grab a vote. And at the end of the day, that roll call vote accurately voted for that resolution to be rescinded. And in my opinion, that's all that matters.
By the way, that's because there's people on the Senate who don't pay attention to what's going on, and that's really fucking
Hey, Representative Agarwal.
Speak up.
Okay. I just wasn't sure like what that entailed, if we could be more specific on that. And then also like Bungra today was like here, and technically like I would consider them like a minority-based organization. But like we didn't approve funding for them based on obviously like the math and the numbers and or like your reasoning. So that's why I'm just kind of like trying to understand like how that would like that kind of situation would work under this resolution as well. So it's like a two-part question.
I think other people will answer the first part better, but I will say Bhangra, like that was like we didn't say that we should fund any request that comes from an organization that supports marginalized communities. Like their request was like crazy. Personally, I want to just table it for a week and have them like submit new numbers so that we can make sure we're not like actually making them spend money, like their own personal money, just to make sure. But like that was a cooked request. Like, yeah.
Since we're already talking about the second question before the first one, I want to say something to that as well. I feel like the rejection of that resolution was from an objective point of view of the student assembly that was because of misuse of funds. And I feel like
that objective standard had nothing to do with the cultural implications surrounding the org. Like in the previous resolution, why we worked so hard to rescind it was because we feel like there were implications that weren't considering like the cultural implications. Like some representatives had thoughts, or like Representative Chaudhary had thoughts that like orgs that are exclusive or have an application process should be like, they should not be allowed to receive funding. But I feel like that disregards cultural implications of orgs that have application processes in order to safeguard their mission, in which caters towards marginalized communities. Because if I have an organization and my application process is to garner who needs, then I feel like that's a cultural implication that should allow that organization to be funded, even though they have an application process and is considered, per definition of the previous resolution, to be exclusive.
And for your first question, the anti-bias safeguards are just invoking the VPDI's powers. As VPDI, you can hold meetings if they feel that the assembly needs more education on diversity, equity, or inclusion. This isn't like talking about Kenny specifically. I, of course, want this resolution to pass on to many assemblies after us, but it's just like invoking that for in cases where we feel like resolutions aren't, or special project resolutions are not being voted favorably because of an organization's participation in a marginalized community, that then those educations can be taught so that the assembly can veer away from such biases and discrimination.
Representative Chaudhary, actually Representative Fard, because we haven't, fine, Representative Chaudhary.
But that's all basically, I mean, this is one water, really, let's say it's in questions here, before people travel and they're asking for the $5,000. And this time when something goes up, right, then I guess he goes to the sun and is like, hey, student summer class, it passes the question, it's like, oh, no one helps support my own post on campus, just like the practice one. And then they went and rejected us, and here's my own organization. That was terrible. In fact, I kind of grabbed the split kind of unintentionally dumb, they blow up, and I don't know who she went. Of course, we have to go to support the points. That's why we have a big I wanted to do my own organization, that's why we vote.
Well, thank you for your response. I'll touch on a few of the things that you said. as a minority representative, that's part of the reason why I wrote this resolution, because I am representative of all minorities on campus. And as our constituents representative, the example you used of, for example, BSU, there are four people in BSU and assembly next year decides to deny them. I think if an organization goes to the sun and claims discrimination, our worry shouldn't be about our public face or how we look to the public. Our worry should be about either the lack of communication to that organization or what action we did to make them feel like they were discriminated against. I think it's like abhorrent to just like be more concerned about how we look to our constituents rather than what are we doing to actually help them. And yeah, that's basically it. I'll read your amendment. And from what you said, I'm sure it's great, but that's just your response to that this resolution has no teeth. I just don't think that's true because I think we need to protect our constituents. And I think this does a great job of doing that.
Representative Farr.
Wait.
I didn't realize she was going to.
I just wanted to touch on the direct language of the resolution because nowhere in this resolution does it say that we're going to like approve of a special project request simply because it's like for a marginalized group. This resolution is tied towards rules in which we are now considering special projects because we're in discussion of what should be allowed, what should not be allowed. This is talking about in the student assembly's discussion of rules. Like per the language of the resolution, it says no rules passed by this assembly, including but not limited to resolution 43, which is gone now, should be construed to prohibit or discourage the approval or disbursement of special project funding to organizations that have recruitment process strictly for purposes of serving the mission of supporting marginalized groups or minority groups. So it's like, this is about the rules tied to special projects funding. Not that like, oh, every single marginalized group that comes by should be allowed just because they're a marginalized group. And I feel like the special projects funding request that we discussed earlier is a keen example of this. If we reject the special projects request because of objective financial reasons, then stand by that. And if an organization claims that we're discriminatory, just stand by, no, this is because of a financial reason. Literally anything that we do here can be interpreted any other way. So to say that like, oh, this resolution shouldn't be passed because it can be interpreted this way, it can be interpreted that way, that's not true. And this resolution doesn't have to do with, oh, what occurs after a resolution is passed or not passed. This resolution has to do with what is the student assembly's interpretation as we move forward to continue to change the rules or to or provide edits to the special projects like requirements.
I also want to say one thing that you specifically said was like kind of the notion of this resolution is kind of like a duh type of thing. And I think that that's very, that's just a very interesting comment for you to make, just given the fact that like everything that we talk about with this assembly, we all have different ideas and we all have different opinions, and that's completely fine. And that's actually completely great. But I know I've had conversations with you about special projects funds, and we obviously philosophically disagree on a lot of different things, but there's no simple duh moment where we're just going to be talking about like the amount of money that we're going to be giving to any organization, because we all have different opinions on that. And so just kind of watering this down to be something that, while yes, I do believe that like everyone should have this simple understanding of it, that's obviously not the case, because we wouldn't be debating about this if everyone fully agreed on it. So it's not simply an duh type of watered down, not talking about how significant that this actually is and the importance of it. And I just kind of want to mention that, because I don't want what you're saying to like water down the importance of this resolution and what it's actually trying to do.
I really like your amendment that you sent, and in a second I'm going to move to add it to the resolution. But first I do want to respond to what you said. So like one of the things you mentioned was like there's no teeth, and so if this assembly really did do a racism basically and deny something for racist reasons, like it doesn't give teeth to those organizations. And I would push back against your conception of racism. Like race, like to me, this is about disparate impact, right? Resolution 43 was a disparate impact issue. It's a universal policy that applies to everyone, but the impacts of it would have had really dire consequences for marginalized communities on campus, or at least that's what I think, right? So it's not about giving teeth to organizations that we did a racism to. It's about voicing our concern and voicing that we as an assembly need to think about the impact of our policies on certain organizations when we're interpreting them, because they could have disparate impacts that we don't originally think about. I move to make the Ishan amendment.
Point of inquiry.
Is there a sec?
Wasn't resolution 43 rescinded?
Yes. I said about our rules generally, not just for.
Okay. Is there a second on the motion to make the amendments in the email? There a second? Is there dissent? Okay, seeing none, those amendments have been adopted. Continuing debate on the resolution, Representative Fard. Can you speak into the mic so that it can be on the record? Thank you.
A lot of ways.
Wait, first, I just wanted to thank you guys. I really liked how you guys like use like good data points, and I think it shows that you guys care a lot about this, and I appreciate that. I just wanted to ask like how you guys define like minority groups, because like by like U.S. government definition, like I wouldn't be a minority group, even though I'm like I am.
Specifically in reference to like minority groups and marginalized organizations, and referring to them as organizations, like SCL, Student Campus Life, when doing, for instance, and this is like what's on that actual spreadsheet, when you're looking at organizations and like where they're categorized, they have specific labels on there. I believe it's like multicultural and something else that they're identified as, like international and multicultural. And so that's like an example of like an identifying factor of what is considered to be within these minority groups or marginalized groups.
We like include that, like the multicultural attack or something.
Yeah, I wanted to add that.
Representative Anand.
I can make an a motion to amend make amendment. Is that how it
works? Yeah, that is privileged.
Right.
What is the amendment?
To add to, I guess there's a bunch of lines. 47, 40, 44, 38, 35, 29, 26, to include like multicultural, not like right, like as well, and like in the definition of the organization.
So on that line 32,
there's a bunch. Anytime like it brings up like historically marginalized and minority, like including multicultural, or like yeah, just say it once, I guess.
Okay, so the amendment is only to put it in one place. If it's to put it in one place, specify. If it's to make it
just the blanket. Whole thing.
Okay. Is there a second for that amendment? Okay, well, there's a second from Representative Anand. Is there dissent to that amendment? Seeing none, that amendment is made. Representative Walters.
Quick, can we like get...
There is no right of response to an amendment.
I just want the language. Like, I just...
There's not... You have no right of response. You can wait until later.
Point of inquiry
recognized.
What was the language for the last resolution, for the last amendment?
Everywhere that historically marginalized students is mentioned, that multicultural organizations are also mentioned.
I feel like if we hadn't rescinded resolution 43, this would make for a great complement to it. But since we did rescind it and it no longer exists, I'm kind of confused as to what the like substantive function of this is other than just like rhetoric.
Substantive function would be moving forward as we continue to apply more rules to special projects funding that minority and multicultural groups and marginalized communities are in our minds when we are applying the rules. That's really what all this resolution is asking for. Not only for, like, well, at the time, resolution 43, but, like, moving forward, this is something that we hold in consideration.
Representative Dorwood. Representative Tarala.
Oh, okay. I actually just sat down while we were all talking and I had a better chance to like thoroughly read this thing. This is pretty half-baked, guys. This is really not a fantastic, like fantastically written resolution, in my humble opinion. I mean, just like the student assembly will implement anti-bias safeguards and require respectful, non-discriminatory deliberation in all decisions. I mean, like, yeah, like, yes. I mean, it's true, that is something that we want, but like, I just don't think that's generally a concern. I mean, also the data we're looking at is from 2014. I think the problem that we're looking at for this thing is that in the last 2 years, special projects and how we've used it has changed significantly. So the way it was used in 2014 is like completely different from the way it's used now. So like, I feel like we should be looking at the last like 2 years of data, maximum. And that's why we came to the conclusion that things were wrong with it because like it's shifted dramatically in a direction that, we don't want. I personally believe that the Student Assembly should not be a funding organization. We are not a funding organization. That is what our bylines are for. Like, it is really not our job to be doing this. And think of all the thousands of dollars that we collectively have spent sitting here debating about special projects. It is such a waste of time and such a waste of money. I'll let you guys, like, that's just food for thought. Like, we really should put this back on SAFSE. Give them a, separate fund or whatever. Like, this is really just not our job. And we are wasting so much time and so much money. In addition, I just there's just just overall, I think this resolution specifically, it does. I agree with Representative Walters here, where it just sounds just a bit like wishy-washy, a little bit like rhetoric, and there's nothing that it's doing really. And I would just I think it comes from a good place, and I think that something should be written. Whether it's from Ishan or you guys, I don't really mind. And I would be in favor of, tabling this for a week and then rewriting this like basically completely, and then talking about it next time. Like, I think this is good, but I think it could use some amendments. That's all. But I'm going to motion to table it for a week.
Second, is there a dissent?
And I'm sorry, this is not an attack on you guys, like
Okay,
personally, like I just.
there is dissent to tabling
Oh, okay.
1 week. We'll now vote on tabling for 1 week. All those in favor of tabling for 1 week, please raise your placards.
Wait.
Give me, yeah, we do, but let me just make sure of that. Two, three, four. Yeah, okay, we've stayed at 18. Yeah, we're still at 18. Okay, all those in favor of tabling for 1 week, please raise your placards. Okay,
Right now,
okay. Okay, all of those in favor of tabling for 1 week, raise your placards confidently. Thank you. Two, three. That is 11. All those opposed. All right, all those abstaining. Okay, in a vote of 11 to 1 to 4, this resolution has been tabled for 1 week. Okay. All right, we're now moving to Resolution 58, winter sidewalk maintenance.
Spicy.
It's like when Ishan said into a hot mic. I hate this.
It's getting a little hot in here, guys. Yes. We have some.
I mean, now that we're out of full spring, I
I
guess.
believe, just for clarity, I think we only have three more resolutions
Wait, that is
third
for
reading calendar.
let the on third. There's three more resolutions on third, one of which this primary only sponsor is not here, so we really do. You may begin presenting. All right. So it's been like 2 weeks since we talked about this. So just to reiterate, the winter sidewalk maintenance has been really bad this winter.
And I mean, right now we are in like full spring or whatever, and it's gonna get really cold again and gonna be really bad again. I'm so tired. I'm sorry. Yeah, and then there were concerns about the Thurston Bridge as well, with the black things. A lot of students came up to me and told me that, yeah, they have fallen and hurt themselves in the exact same spot. I would also like to note that we voted for a motion to amend this last week that's not in here.
Did you send the amended version? Did you
At the
send the amended
yeah,
version?
send
What?
There was no outright amendment made.
I said it twice. I thought it was a VP
Did you
when I was writing it down.
send the updated version?
I did not.
Okay, because there was no official amendment made. It was just a discussion point that it should be added between second and third. So if you want a motion to make the amendment now, you can. Otherwise, we don't have a copy of like an amended version. So we'd need to make an amendment anyway.
Okay, well then motion to add to the motion to amend the resolution to add
And give a location, like which line number.
like yeah right after line 21, be it further resolved, the student assembly recommends that facilities and campus services consider using sand or other more environmentally friendly options as an alternative to salt.
Just write that down.
Wait, are you writing that down or should I?
Is there a second for that amendment?
I'm
Is
also
there
just
a
going to
dissent?
clarify about that like metal strip
Wait,
on a bridge.
is there a dissent? Okay, seeing no dissent, that amendment has passed.
They like
I'll
re-put
recognize
new
you.
tape on that every year. It just comes off. Like
Wait, why?
sandpaper kind of tape.
I
Yeah.
don't think we're talking about the same thing.
I think we
Wait, I
are.
don't remember there ever being
We're
sandpaper
definitely not.
there. The black strip where the cars go?
There this actually this year the was the amount of sandpaper strips bought the much of they used to do it twice a semester. Now they do it once every single week. So
Okay, any further points in debate? Executive Vice President Fenoy.
motion to close debate.
Is there a second on closing debate? Is there dissent? Seeing none, debate is now closed. We're now in a period of voting. All those in favor of this resolution, please raise your placards. Okay, 18. All those opposed, all those abstaining. In a vote of 18-0-0, this resolution passes. Resolution 60, because the sponsor is not here, will not be read. And we will move to Resolution 62, health vending machine expansion to West and College Town communities. RIP Sonia, she made it so far. Like very recently. We are one person away from losing quorum, so pick up the pace, please.
I'm just gonna really quickly recap. Vending machine, North Campus, good, yay, smiley face. We want more vending machines on West Campus and C Town. Special projects fund, sad face. It's not, we're not rich. We are actually quite poor. But I do think we should use the money for special projects fund, or in general in our reserves account, for good things. Vending machines are good things. Health products are good things. Students deserve good things. Please vote for this. Thank you.
Representative Walters.
Close debate.
There a second? Is there a dissent to closing debate? Okay, debate is now closed. All those in favor of this resolution, please raise your placards confidently. Nineteen, 20, 21, 22. Okay, 22. All those opposed. All those abstaining. In a vote of 19-0-0, this resolution has passed. Okay, motion to adjourn. No consent.
We have to get the second reading calendar. This is it.
Pump, I can pump like the
At least one.
We have time. Let's get through the second reading calendar, please.
Okay, all right. So there was dissent to the motion to adjourn. So that means that we are now in debate, or we can just vote. No, I'm not going to withdraw. All right. We're now in debate over the motion to adjourn. Representative Ehrlich.
I totally get it because I got like 5 hours of sleep last night. And if y'all haven't noticed from how much I fucked up during this meeting, I'm like so cooked. But I will say, like, we should just pump out a few second reading calendar things. And then, like, we'll be like in a much better position next week. And then next week, we'll all be like, yes, I'm so glad we did that. So, yeah.
Okay, as the person who made the motion, I have a really bad headache. That's why. Yeah, so actually, EVP promotion to chair, whatever. I don't think I have to. Anyway, yeah, like I can, but like I like physically, like I can't do it.
We can just adjourn.
No. Okay. Executive Vice President Fenoy. Oh no, you're I'm recognizing you.
Motion to end debate.
Second.
Is there dissent? Okay, all those in favor of adjourning, raise your placards.
What?
Yo, okay, all right, that's a loss. Nice.
Can we go?
All right.
I resolution
also, it's not a migraine. I'm dehydrated because I've been fasting. Like, you guys suck. Like, that's really insensitive. Anyway, let me spin this. Okay, Resolution 63, recognizing September 25th and establishing a student service window administered by student and campus life.
Hi, I talked about this last week really quickly. Good idea. Research. Research is good. Smiley face. Yay. We have lots of campus surveys that admin does that don't get a lot of responses. When you have a low response rate, research bad, sad face. This resolution tries to make sad face smiley face by creating a day where like we have students who are incentivized to go and do research. Unlike the large majority of resolutions that we try to pass through here, I actually tried to work through the back end for this one. So I got a one-on-one meeting with student and campus life and then a one-on-one meeting with the Institutional Office of Research and Planning. They love this. They really want assembly to pass it. They actually want to pump a lot of money into it and do a lot of programming around it, especially given the context of everything that's happening with research across the board. They think highlighting something like this is good for campus culture and morale. So please move this to third reading calendar. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Walters.
Second.
Okay, is there dissent? Seeing none, debate is now closed and this resolution has been moved to third reading calendar. Resolution 67 and 68 have both been tabled for a week. Yeah, because Hayden tabled them. He texted me. All right. Resolution 69, urging Cornell to support higher TCAP funding. Yeah, my computer's also like
you gonna die. Sean, you could just be Sonya, but you might also want the other. That's crazy.
Greetings, friends. TCAP funding. So for those of you who were not paying attention to what was going on with the TCAP, I think this was last semester. So there were some talks about Cornell giving TCAP some money because they needed money. And they needed $500,000. And our dear friends, headed by our dear friend Michael Kotlikoff, offered them $30,000, which you might note is a whole crap ton less than $500,000. And then they had a whole discussion about it. And then Cornell gave them like $230,000, I think, which is definitely not enough. For those of you who don't know.
So we have lost quorum because Hayden fell asleep. Okay.
No.
All right.
She's awake now.
All right, continue.
Oh, okay, quorum's back. Okay.
Wait, like I'm.
That's true.
No, like, no, that does count. That does count. You're not present. Like, anyway.
Hayden, you doing all right? I feel like that was low-key Zora being like we should have adjourned earlier.
He told me that she was asleep.
It would have been a fair point.
Wait.
I'm almost done.
Keep it going.
Okay. I'll
go ahead.
All right. So basically, Cornell's going to go back into negotiations with TCAT soon, and I think it's important that we urge them to support TCAT. A, because TCAT's really important for us, and B, because if they.
That's out of order. Continue.
And B, because we might be able to get free bus passes if they support TCAT. Does anyone want a motion somewhere?
Okay, executive vice, actually, yeah, executive vice president, why not? Oddmir's not here.
Motion to end debate.
Second.
Is there dissent? Okay, seeing none, phase out ended this move to the third reading. Now in resolution 70, the last straw, single-use plastic phase out.
Sorry, is that going to go on the record?
No, I don't think that'll go on the record. The DM.
One is pretty self-explanatory. I'm not going to spend too much time talking about it because it's mainly plastic-free Cornell's thing, and I really, really, really want them to talk about it on third reading. I've been in contact with them for, I don't know, like a month now. Real quick, I'd also like to plug, there's like a student athlete that created a movement called Skip the Lead. She can also talk about this next time she's here too. But if this doesn't pass, which I don't know if a ban will, but her movement is really cool. So I think this one is a no-brainer, but
Representative Chaudhuri.
Hey,
second.
Second.
I didn't see it. Sometimes it was chair seats. All right. Is there a dissent? Seeing none, this resolution has passed the third reading calendar.
Lovely.
We're now at resolution 71, grade transparency. Okay.
Thanks. Well, I think this resolution is very self-explanatory. I don't really know much to say. I could speak on what, like, why this resolution was written. I feel like I heard from a lot of students, including myself, that there's a lack of grade transparency among professors, such that it'll be like 1 week before grades are posted, and that's when you discover your final grades. I feel like that's very stressful for students, especially since our transcripts are, for some of us, the foundation of us our lives. So I just feel like it's fair for us to know the credit for our work. I feel like this also has benefits to knowing whether you're doing good or bad in the class for education. So you know, like, if you need to put a bit more hours into studying for this math class or this econ class or whatever have you. I just think it has like multiple different benefits. And I think it's very self-explanatory. I don't know what else to say about it.
I don't even have anything else to say.
Representative Dorward.
Second.
Is there dissent? Seeing none, debate is closed. It's third reading. Resolution 72, alleviating preliminary exam. Oh.
I think Aiden wanted to help present this, so can we well, he can help with third reading calendar. So you know what, let's keep it. So, okay, we ready? Okay, cool. So I will say Aiden primarily wrote this. Aiden Moodley, he's on the Academic Policy Committee. Anyways, he'll probably be here for third reading calendar. This is basically because people will have too many prelims in 24 hours, and like that might be bad if you have a headache like Zora has or something like that. So that's not a call out. I'm just saying, like, you know, like that would be really bad if you had three prelims. Anyways, can someone move to close debate?
So, Representative Bloom.
I will motion in a second, but I would like to say that Aiden is a like a just a committee member, and this is like the first time he's written a resolution. It was basically on his own, and I think is really cool. So, anyways, he'll present it though. So I motion to end debate.
Second.
Second. Dissent. Seeing none. We're now in resolution 73, calling for Cornell to improve its land acknowledgement and recognize the benefits obtained through the Morrill Act of 1862.
Dylan is
Not here.
okay, so Dylan's not here. So resolution 74, transparency in the first year program, house access and placement outcomes. Last item of the day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is this the last one on the second reading, guys?
It
Look at this. Look at us.
What?
All right.
I did just command to do that.
Okay, you done.
I know I like also have
Bye.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Okay.
guys.
So real quickly, we have a bunch of program houses on campus. A lot of them cater to marginalized and multicultural communities. If you take a look or you just walk through the residential halls, you'll see how the dorms are not very representative of the communities that they claim to be representative of. I work with many advocacy groups on campus. We all have had many conversations with admins, Kolakoff, Lombardi, Dean Love. BSU actually just had a town hall where they talked to them about the, lack of representation of the communities they claim to
be representative of the program houses, and they're never clear about it. As a freshman, we all black dorm Ujamaa, we call it Uj. As a freshman, Kolakoff, Lombardi, Dean Love told black people there's no black people in there because black people don't apply. We as black community went out of our way to tell every single admitted student to apply. I can count on both hands and both toes, number of black students that I know that applied to be a part of Uj still isn't there. And again, during the town hall meeting that we had with Kolakoff, as of like, what was that, Tuesday? He was asked about it again and again. He said, black students don't apply. It's not true. I know a bunch and they're still not there. So this resolution is an investigation, a resolution to call for transparency in the numbers of how many people apply to these program houses and how many people are actually granted. And then once we have transparency, then we can move forward with actually figuring out why is it that these program houses aren't representative of what they should be. Yeah, I feel like it's pretty straightforward.
Okay, Representative Ehrlich.
Yeah, they're obviously lying because, like, I have a friend who lived there a couple years ago, and I used to go there a lot to Ujamaa, and, like, obviously, I doubt that suddenly in 2 years, black students, poof, stopped applying to live in Ujamaa. So, I move to close debate.
Second. They just said, okay, seeing none. Good job, guys. Okay, wait, I've like Christian has one thing and I have one really quick thing and then we're done.
I just want to say I'm very happy and proud of all of y'all for saying this is the latest we've ever done, but I'm very happy for each and every one of you. That's all I want to say.
Okay. Also I know that personal privilege came up last week. Like, I got a bunch of texts about it while I was in my stats exam. So I would like to read the types of question of privilege section out of Robert's Rules so that you guys all know, because it's also relevant to the meeting we had today, and then we're done. Types of questions of privilege. Questions of privilege are out of two types. One, those relating to the privileges of the assembly, and two, questions of personal privilege. Questions of the privilege of the assembly may relate to its organization or existence, comfort of its members with respect to heating, ventilation, lighting, or noise or other disturbance, to the conduct of its officers and employees or of visitors, to the punishment of its members, or to the accuracy of published reports of proceedings, etc. A motion to go into executive session is also a question of the privileges of the assembly. Questions of personal privilege, which seldom arise in ordinary societies and even more rarely justify interruption of pending business, may relate, for example, to an incorrect record of a member's participation in meeting or to charges circulated against a member's character. So if you ever think that the crowd is being disruptive when I have not said anything, you can call assembly privilege. If you ever think that someone is slanderous against you, personal privilege. If the windows are ever open and you're cold, assembly privilege. They're not free disturbances. Thank you very much. This meeting is adjourned.